SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to SBS News.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, a warning from Australia Post about its future. Star Entertainment delays its half-year profit, and the Australian share market tumbles as the US imposes higher tariffs on China. All that and more next. Hi everyone, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 28th of February 2025. The Australian share market took a bit of a tumble today, down 1.2% on this final day of the trading month. We'll have the details with Julia Lee from FTSE Russell. But first, we'll start with Australia Post, which is calling for further government reform as it warns of significant challenges ahead as competition intensifies. It comes despite a surge in half-year profit to $249 million as it closed non-core businesses and streamlined its operations. Its parcels unit was a standout, where revenue rose 6% and volumes 3%. But it's warned it's facing pressure from new gig economy entrants and startups with technology investments, which it claims don't contribute to Australia's economy like it does as an employer of 64,000 people. For more, I spoke with its CEO, Paul Graham. So your parcel business is a standout, revenue up 6%, but competition remains very intense. Can you tell me just how intense and where is that competition coming from?
Yeah, thank you, Ricardo. It is incredibly intense competition coming from both global platform players who we're all familiar with, as well as our traditional local competition, but also new entrants, new gig economy entrants. They've got a bit of technology and they are also chipping away at our market share. So it's really across the board, which is why we need to continue to invest in our parcel business, why we need to continue to simplify our business and make sure that we are delivering the expected service that our customers want. With a record peak, 102 million parcels delivered in peak, excellent service standard, but we need to keep doing that day in, day out. Reliability is absolutely key, and that's what we're focusing on.
You employ 64,000 people. Are some of those jobs under threat from this rising competition?
Well, competition, is always going to be tough. This is a low-margin business. I've been in this business a long time in many corners of the world, and it is incredibly intense. What we have focused on is making sure that we are relevant to our customers, both by investing in the services that they're asking us to deliver, expanding, for example, our locker formats. And we've made a commitment, along with our union partners, to ensure that we continue to focus on creating well-paying jobs. The world is changing. Our letter business is declining. That's why it's so important that we continue to maintain our market share in parcels and indeed to look at where we can grow it. So as those people move off delivering mail, they can move in delivering more parcels. And that's what we've seen with the reform that the government gave us last year and what we call our new delivery model.
Speaking of reform, you are calling for further reform to ensure the long-term survival of Australia Post. Just what kind of reform exactly?
Yeah, so we worked closely with the government last year to get the first reform in the 1989 Postal Act for over 40 years. We're very pleased with that. Our half-year result reflects some of the benefits of that reform and our new delivery model. But as we see mail continue to decline another 10% in the half, we know that our ability to deliver mail going forward has to be looked at, whether that gets down to delivering mail 3 days a week or less. There simply won't be enough volume to justify the infrastructure that we have, which is why, again, it's so important that we continue to build on our parcel business and we continue to have the trigger to put the price of a stamp up, not to get us to a profitable situation, because I don't think we ever will, but simply to minimise the losses that we have got, because every dollar that we have as a loss in our mail business, a dollar less we can invest in our parcel business, and also to continue to fine-tune our 4,000 branch network to reflect the needs of the communities in which we serve.
How do you see Australia Post operating in 10 years from now? What kind of a business will it be, and what kind of services will it offer?
Yeah, well, I'm not that great at crystal ball gazing, but certainly we will at our core be an e-commerce parcel business. We will continue to provide a range of what we regard as important and essential services to the community based on what those community needs are. But as we continue to see the decline in foot traffic due to the digitization of a lot of the services we provide, be that our identity services or banking services, we will look differently. But at our core, we will be an e-commerce parcel business.
Just how is Australia Post placed against its other similar businesses around the world?
Look, we are well placed to a large degree. We have seen across the world all the postal organisations significantly impacted by not being able to reform. We saw recently Canada Post having to get a $1 billion bailout from the Canadian government. We've seen significant losses in Royal Mail and United States Postal Service. We are not in that situation yet. However, unless we continue to invest and focus on making ourselves relevant in the parcel business, unless we continue to work with our stakeholders and the government to get what we believe is practical and necessary reform, we will face some challenging questions going forward. But we don't need to be there. We have shown that in our execution of our post-26 strategy to date. But it's all about making sure we're able to invest, making sure we're driving costs out and being nimble and competitive and reflecting the needs of the communities that we serve.
And finally, what would your message be to both government and consumers when it comes to having a choice to use Australia Post services given all this rising competition?
So we would encourage our consumers. We are the most trusted service brand in the country and we take that recognition very proudly. We would encourage the consumers to tell their merchant, their supplier, who they're buying from, that they would prefer to use Australia Post. Why? Because we've been here for 215 years. We keep investing in the community. We pay our taxes. We employ 60-odd thousand people. And we make sure that we are continuing to invest in every community that we operate in. We have a number of global competitors who do not have maybe the same long-term interests of Australia that we do. So please encourage your suppliers, your merchants, your retailers to use Australia Post. That would be the first thing. And also to give us feedback. What are we doing that we can do better? Because that's going to help shape our strategy going forward. In terms of the government, it's a thank you for the first phase of reform that has enabled us to put the business on a more stable financial footing. However, we're going to need more reform and we're going to need to work closely with all our stakeholders, our union partners, the government, and communities to ensure that that reform allows us to be financially sustainable, but also balancing that with the needs that those communities have, be it in their parcel business, mail services, banking services, or a range of other services they would regard Australia Post as an important provider of.
That is Paul Graham there, the CEO of Australia Post. Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast. Australian share market down today, the S&P ASX 200 finishing 1.2% lower. With the details, including the latest woes from Star Entertainment, I spoke with Julia Lee, the head of client coverage at FTSE Russell.
If we have a look across sectors on the Australian market, it tells us a lot about what's impacting on the market. First of all, we are seeing the material sector down by 2.2%. And the material sector, Australian miners are seen as a proxy for China growth. So the fact that we have seen President Trump coming out to say that from the 4th of March, tariffs on Mexico and China will go ahead and there'll be an extra kicker for China of 10% on concerns around fentanyl. And that's really impacting on the material sector. The second thing is the tech space, where we did see NVIDIA report results overnight. Now, the results were better than expected and the outlook was strong, but it might be a case where NVIDIA is just a victim of its own success. It is predicting about a 65% lift in revenue, but it's nowhere near the triple digit returns that investors have gotten used to. So the tech space, as well as the material space, really dragging down on the market. And of course, it's the last day of the month. It looks like the Aussie share market is going to see its second lowest close of 2025, down around about 4% for the month of February.
The other really big story of the day is that of Star Entertainment. I want to preface this by saying that we are recording this ahead of the market's close, and things could change quite dramatically. Shares are on a trading halt. It was supposed to update the market on its half-year profits today, but it didn't happen at this stage. Things could change, as I mentioned, throughout the day. But just how close to collapse is it?
Well, it looks like Star is counting on a liquidity injection or a white knight to come in at the last minute to keep it as a going concern. It is really coming down to the wire, and Star saying that it does expect at least one, if not two, liquidity proposals on the table. And that would also mean that it would be able to perhaps come out with its half-year results, which are due today. The market consensus is that we are expecting to see a loss here. But if it doesn't come out with its half-year numbers, it will most likely remain suspended throughout Monday as well. So a couple of things that we're watching out for. One is a potentially a liquidity proposal, and secondly is its half-year numbers.
Okay. Let's just say it does get a liquidity deal. Then what? Is it out of trouble?
How long is the length of string? I think it depends on a lot of the conditions and the size of the liquidity proposal. And it also depends on how much time Star needs in order to turn its business around, because at the end of the day, the liquidity injection just buys it time to be able to salvage its business and to turn things around so that it is able to continue as a going concern. The problem is that there is already about $430 million in secured loans, and Star has gone to its lenders time and time again to try and nut out a proposal, but the secure lenders have turned it down. So I'm watching to see what a potential liquidity proposal looks like, and also whether it is acceptable for its secured lenders as well. But all up, this is to buy Star time to hopefully turn its business around.
Okay, reporting season is coming to an end. A few major companies reported today. Which ones did you find interesting and why?
Look, I think Endeavour is an interesting one. Endeavour owns Dan Murphy's, and the half-year results were a poor one, so the shares are coming under pressure. Not only did we see revenue lower, earnings lower, as well as net profit lower, the two main impacts on those results are, number one, a consumer that's under pressure. We know that mortgage repayments are pretty tough, and we know inflation is really biting into household budgets. But secondly, Endeavour shares a lot of the warehouses and logistics of its parent company, Woolworths, and there was a 17-day strike in December. Now, if you think about liquor sales, Christmas is a key time in terms of sales, so that was a major impact. But I think more interestingly for investors might be the longer term forecast for a company like Endeavour. We've seen a Gallup survey last year showing that 45% of Americans thought that a moderate amount of drinking, which is counted as 1 to 2 drinks a day, is harmful for health. And we know that we're seeing non-alcoholic beverage sales rising. So it'll be interesting to see if we see some of those US and global trends also impacting here in Australia longer term.
And finally and quickly, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
Well, it's been a pretty volatile month, Ricardo. I think it's really shown that, you know, the market was priced very strongly. And what we needed to see this reporting season was an uplift in earnings expectations. Now, that hasn't come through. So that means that it's probably going to be a tougher period for investors. And when we do see these bouts of volatility, which are completely normal for the market, usually the type of strategies that we see outperforming are high dividend, high cash flow, stable cash flow type of strategies. So watching for those reliable defensive earners to outperform in the next couple of months.
That's Julia Lee there from FTSE Russell. Don't forget to give this podcast a rating if you do enjoy it, particularly on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and click on that subscribe button.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.